Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 14th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, in no big surprise, Congress is expected to delay disaster assistance aid appropriations for farmers until after Thanksgiving. But still, they'd like to get that done during the lame duck session. And the incoming Democrat chairs of the House and Senate Ag Committees say they want a new farm bill and not an extension of the current legislation. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll continue to explore no-till in Illinois. Yesterday, we told you it had become the most popular row crop farming method in the state. Today, we'll hear some advice for those wanting to make the switch. Oh, and we'll hear also from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska, as we do every Tuesday, one of their last updates of the crop progress for the year. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this half hour of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December contract in the wheat pit at 486.5, up 9.5 cents. March soft red winter wheat at $5.06, up 7.25 today. December futures in the corn pit rallied 15.25 at the end of the day. 357.75 was the settlement price. The March at 371.5, up 13 cents, and the May futures at 374.75 were up 12. July contract $3.79, up 11.5. November soybeans, 656. They're up 9.5. January futures, 671.25, up 13.75. And the March contract at 684.5, up 15.25. November beans next year at 709.5, up 13.25 for the day. December bean meal futures at 194.40, up 260. December bean oil, 67 higher, at 28.66 this afternoon. Feeder cattle, November contract over at the Mercantile Exchange, 97.15. They were down 65 cents. And December futures in the live cattle pit at 85.85, up a dime. February live cattle at 88.40, they were off 45. December lean hog futures at 45 cents higher, finished at 61.67.5. Crude oil futures in the outside market trading at $58.30 a barrel, up 20, or rather down 28 cents at this hour. The CRB index at 308.35, they're up 32. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,226, up 94 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Illinois alum and Illidale's favorite son in Indiana. His name, of course, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I was at the game last night, 80-35. Austin Peay, I guess, got a little retribution.
I can remember back when they beat us in the first round, and I couldn't hardly believe they did. I think that we paid them back for it last night. What do you think?
I think we did. I took my youngest son to the game last night. He got a kick out of it. He's a 10-year-old and an athlete, and he had a load of fun, despite the fact that we were up. Well, you know, it's not that bad, but when you're up in the nosebleed section, you get to see a lot from way down, and we got to see, I guess, two red shirts give that up and play in the game last night, and one of them looked pretty decent, I thought. So,
well, we need some recruits. You know, unfortunately, the state over here took away one we needed for next year, but I think that we got some really good guys coming on and looking forward to the basketball season. contrary to how we feel about the football season, we're glad to put it away.
You know what? I don't follow – I follow my son's sports a lot. I don't follow the sports here on campus terribly closely, but enough that I was – actually, I had a pretty good week. I was at the football game on Saturday, too. Man, that was a cold one in the East Stands. We were up high with that one, too. But I think that they'll come along. I think the Zook era will begin eventually.
It will be better next year.
Yeah, we'll always look forward to next year. Speaking of looking forward to the next time around, today was the next time around for the corn and the wheat pit. Things rallied quite nicely today.
Nice turnaround today in the markets. You know, as we were talking there on Commodity Week, I just couldn't get as bearish as Mr. Ring was on things, and sort of felt that we had another shot up here. And, of course, that's what we saw today. We saw some turnaround buying. It all got started over in electronic trade and pushed up through some stops, and there just wasn't selling above the market, Todd. Then we sort of settled down, and then there come the rumor that a large seed company released harvest data that suggested the final corn number probably be bushel and a half lower if their test plots had anything to do with it. And the rumors are that was Pioneer. So that along with it and lack of sell orders and that sort of news, basically, and also the delays on the last corn that's out there, you know, we're having trouble rutting up fields, more rain coming in. It's going to be a long drug out last 10% here as far as the corn harvest goes. So with all that combined and no sell orders, here we are, 13 higher on the day in the March corn.
And well, the question is, was it just a turnaround Tuesday? Was it opposite Tuesday? Which direction is it going to go on Wednesday?
Well, you know, we had a tremendously strong close here today. You know, the question being, will we correct a little bit tomorrow before we continue the on upward move? We probably look for things not to, you know, just gap and go from here on in. We're going to have to, you might do a little setback before we move on up. But all in all, you know, you can't get too bearish this market when everybody in Chicago is as positive as they are. We were up to a seminar a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and just the attitude when we went down on the floor at the Board of Trade, everybody was looking to buy a break, and that's why we just couldn't get too negative after things happened, because as we talked to these people, they still had the same feeling. Nobody was ready to sell this thing off yet. They still wanted to get longer.
I have a question about that, and given that it was electronic trade that moved things higher, do you think it's the funds that are continuing to be on the buy side of this market and that they were using the electronic trade to get in?
I think that was the electronic was where some of the funds come in, yes, most heartily. But we did hear there was some commercial buying today, too. Now, we don't know to what degree, but we did hear that there was some commercial buying early this morning.
All right. Anything to add on the Mercantile Exchange point of today?
You know, I mean, everything was so exciting over at the board that the Mercantile was sort of in everybody's background here. But, you know, as we look at this, this is a real attitude that as these corn and beans get higher, you know, we're going to probably shorten up some of these hog the placements and the cattle and some of the farrowings on the hogs. But we were a little bit negative today. The hogs were steady, $1 lower, and $84 bid on the cattle today, which, you know, is down quite a bit like that. So sort of slow over there, you know, down 45 to 80 in the cattle and down 32 in the February hogs.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Ed Kieser says tonight in southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana, skies will be cloudy with steady rain arriving. Elsewhere, cloudy, scattered showers, some drizzle, a little patchy fog as well. Lows this evening from 34 in the far north to 46 in far southern Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, windy in all sections. In northern Illinois, cloudy, scattered showers. Elsewhere, cloudy, widespread rain, possibly heavy in some locations. Highs tomorrow from 40 in northwest Western Illinois to 54 in southwestern Indiana. Dave Dickey's here now.
In agricultural news, Washington Insider reports that the agricultural appropriations bill and potential ag disaster assistance will not be taken up until December after the congressional Thanksgiving holiday. National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says Congress needs to take up disaster aid in the lame duck session.
Just because the control of Congress changed doesn't reduce the need for disaster assistance as a result of all these weather-related disasters over the past couple of years. This has been an ongoing process, 2 years' worth of crop failure in much of the nation.
North Dakota Senators Byron Dorgan and Kent Conrad have officially asked Majority Leader Bill Frist to bring ag disaster aid before the Senate for a vote during the lame duck session. Meanwhile, sources said Congress will pass a continuing resolution this week to keep government funded. Yesterday, the GOP tried to slow passage of a measure that would grant permanent normal trade relations to Vietnam. That effort failed, paving the way for consideration of the measure under normal House procedures. President Bush travels today to Vietnam, putting extra pressure on Congress to pass the Vietnam trade measure. The incoming agriculture chairs in the House and Senate say they want a 5-year farm bill in 2007 rather than an extension of the 2002 farm bill. Senator Tom Harkin and Representative Colin Peterson say the farm bill will not need to take into account Doha Round considerations because the stalled talks won't likely be revived for 5 years after Farm Bill 2007 would expire. Harkin and Peterson also say that a stronger energy title and stronger conservation program are their highest priorities for the new farm bill. A minority party in South Korea says it plans to buy up and destroy 9 tons of U.S. beef, the first to arrive in South Korea in 3 years. The Democratic Labor Party says the beef could be tainted by mad cow disease and that the government's safety measures are insufficient to ensure public safety. The shipment is currently undergoing South Korea inspection and could be released for public sale as early as this weekend. Tyson Foods says it lost $56 million in its fourth quarter, which ended in September. In the quarter, chicken lost $20 million and beef lost $34 million. On the year, Tyson, the world's largest meat processor, says it lost $196 million, or 58 cents a share. And the U.S. and China cotton industries pledged cooperation with the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding. National Cotton Council Chairman Alan Helms says the MOU is significant for the U.S. cotton industry, seeking to build on current momentum and a long-time relationship with China. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Just a quick note of thanks to Tom Rogers and to Jay Pierce. They'll be filling in for Dave and I tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. The two of us will be in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Well, up next, we told you yesterday that no-till had surpassed conventional tillage methods.
It's official.
Illinois is a no-till state.
Update the soil erosion and crop tillage program survey conducted every 2 years
shows 2006
switch to high-end soil
for conservation. The survey says there are more no-till acres in Illinois for corn, soybeans, and small grains combined than any other tillage method. Data was collected last spring and early summer from more than 51,000 fields across the state. It shows 51% of the soybean acres were no-tilled, 17% of the corn, and about 36% of the small grains. It's a great deal for soil conservation, says University of Illinois Extension Natural Resources Management Educator Bob Frazee. He's hopeful the news will inspire more farmers to use no-till and has this advice about the conversion process.
For first-time no-tillers that are really looking and wanting to start with no-till soybeans for this 2007 cropping season, there's a number of planning things that should be done by the producers this fall. First off, if you're starting off for no-till soybeans for the first time, I'd recommend that you choose a well-drained, relatively weed-free field that's not had a lot of compaction problems out there for the last year or two. It's also important that we do a soil test to correct any severe nutrient deficiencies and soil pH problems by making sure we get limestone and the correct amounts of phosphorus and potash being applied this fall time. If you have problems out here with perennial weeds, now is the time to get applying your fall-applied herbicides to knock those weeds down so that they won't cause problems as perennial weeds for you in next season's program. This is also an excellent time period to get visiting with your seed, chemical, and fertilizer dealers out in here to see what some of the new technology is associated with equipment, as well as other types of products that are most adaptable out in here for your no-till soy bean program. This is also a good time to start visiting with some of your neighbors, because right now we've got over 51% of our soybean acres planted to no-till, and with this, this has a great deal of expertise that's already out in here throughout the state of Illinois that you can tap in and visit with some of your neighbors to see what practices they do, what types of equipment and technology, as well as products that they use to make no-till work most successfully for their no-till soybean program.
That was U of I Extension's Bob Frazee with some advice on how to get on the no-till bandwagon and to conserve Illinois' most precious natural resource, its soil. By the way, in addition to the increase in no-till acreage, the T-Transic survey reported on earlier also revealed an increase in the percentage of Illinois farmland with tolerable soil loss levels. About 86% of the field surveyed were below T. That's the rate at which soil naturally replaces itself. Another 10% were slightly above T and will require only minor adjustments in crop production methods to fall within the tolerable range. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Now for our weekly look at the crop progress report from the United States Department of Agriculture, we'll hear from the state statisticians across the Midwest. Around the nation, 90% of the corn crop has been harvested. That's right on par with the rolling five-year average, but just a bit behind last year when 94% of the crop had been harvested at this time. 97% of the crop was in the bin last year. For soybeans, 94% this year. And again, that's right on par with the rolling five-year average. Yesterday's report also pegging the winter wheat condition, 46% in good condition, 13% in excellent across the nation. That's on par with the previous week and just ahead of the year-ago numbers.
This is Paul Sieper with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending November 12th. Last week, the state experienced warmer temperatures averaging from 3 to 6 degrees above normal. Precipitation was received across all portions of the state, while the northeast and the southeast averaged near an inch of precipitation. Elsewhere, farmers are trying to wrap up corn and soybean harvest with progress of both crops equaling their respective five-year averages, but slightly trailed last year's pace. The winter wheat crop has not been growing due to the cooler temperatures and was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies average 4% very short, 9% short, 66% adequate, and 21% surplus. There was an average of 4.6 days suitable for field work. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers from last week, corn progress advanced to 95%, trailing last year's 99% and the five-year average of 96%. Soybean harvest average advanced to 98% complete, which compares to 100% 1 year ago and 98% for the five-year average. In other crops across the state, sorghum harvested continued at 96% complete, trailing last year's 98% and the five-year average of 94%. Winter wheat seeding is nearly completed at 97%, which compares to 100% 1 year ago and 97% normally. 85% of the winter wheat crop has emerged, trailing last year's 96% and the five-year average of 91%. We would like to thank all the respondents for their time and support in reporting for the 2006 growing season. This is the last weekly release until April. We'll be releasing a report the first Monday of the month from now until April. This has been Paul Sieper with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending November 12th. Spotty rain showers and saturated fields hindered harvest activity. The cold temperatures delayed saturated fields from drying, which left corn vulnerable to lodging. Soggy field conditions forced some farmers to choose between concerns of rutting and soil compaction or finishing the harvest and putting the crop in the bin. Wheat is struggling to emerge, and growth continues to be slowed by the cloudy, cool, wet conditions. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 61% adequate, and 38% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 73% adequate, and 25% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.47 to 2.38 inches, and temperatures averaged from a high of 78 to a low of 31 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 3.8 days were rated as suitable for field work. 79% of the corn acreage in Indiana is harvested, behind the 95% for last year and the 5-year average of 90%. By area of the state, 79% of the corn acreage is harvested in the north and central Indiana, and 80% was harvested in the south. Moisture content of the harvested corn continues to average about 18%. 91% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 99% for last year and 97% for the 5-year average. By area of the state, 95% of the soybean acreage is harvested in the north, 94% in central Indiana, and 79% is harvested in the south. Moisture content of the harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Eric Wilson, statistician from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending Sunday, November 12, 2006. Above average temperatures aided harvest progress last week until Friday storms dropped rain, snow, and sleet, which stopped field work. Iowa farmers harvested 9% of the state's corn crop during the past week, with another 7% remaining to harvest. There were also busy fertilizing and working ground for next year's crop. South Central Iowa made the largest harvest advance during the past week, although 25% of its corn for grain is still standing in the field. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture rated 3% very short, 15% short, 74% adequate, and 8% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 8% very short, 25% short, 63% adequate, and 4% surplus statewide. Corn harvest reached 93%, 2 percentage points behind last year, but 1 percentage point ahead of normal. The percent moisture of all field corn was 17, while that of corn being harvested was 16%. And that is the weekly crops and weather report from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska weekly crop weather report for the week ending November 12, 2006. Favorable weather conditions allowed producers to push progress towards completion. Corn harvest was 87% complete, behind last year's 94, but near the 88 average. The Southwest District was the furthest behind. Soybean harvest was 98% complete, behind last year's 100% and even with the average. Sorghum harvest was 92% complete, behind the 97 of last year, but ahead of the 91% average. Winter wheat conditions showed no change and rated 72% good or excellent, which remains an improvement over a year ago. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason for AM 580 Agriculture. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A bill to extend the Ameren ComEd electric rate freeze was approved by an Illinois House committee today and is expected to pass the full House. But over in the state Senate, President Emil Jones is skeptical. He has suggested that lawmakers should not meddle in electric rates, which are overseen by state regulators. Without an extension, Ameren and ComEd rates are slated to increase in January by as much as 50%. Backers of a ban on using cell phones while driving say they're not too disheartened by the decision by Champaign City Council members not to discuss the proposal. Urbana alderman Charlie Smythe, who's sponsoring a cell phone driving ban in his city, says city officials who will cool to the ban will change their minds once they hear from members of the public supporting the measure. Smythe says he expects passage of a cell phone driving ban in Urbana or Champaign to take several months. A Chicago boy trying to stop the U.S. from deporting his mother is getting support from Mexico's Congress. 7-year-old Saul Arellano today appeared before the Mexican Chamber of Deputies. The plea for help in lobbying Washington to stop the deportation of his mother. Elvira Arellano is an illegal immigrant who's taken refuge in a Chicago church. The deputies passed a unanimous resolution calling on the Bush administration to suspend the deportation of illegal immigrant parents of U.S. citizens. Researchers at the University of Illinois, Purdue University, and Ohio State University are teaming up to develop ways to alleviate congestion in the nation's transportation system. The federally funded NextTrans Research Center will open at the Purdue campus next spring. Researchers from three universities will be studying all facets of transportation for the next several years, looking at ways to move people and goods quickly and with fewer disruptions. Managers of a new outdoor superstore preparing to open in Portage, Indiana, say they've had an overwhelming response to a job fair to fill nearly 300 positions. The Bass Pro Shops is scheduled to open in February. They expect to have 2,000 applicants before the job fair concludes tomorrow. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather around the globe and specifically what's been happening in the southern hemisphere.
Well, there's going to be a pattern that's going to be a little cooler than normal in South America. Best chances of rain here over the next week or two will likely be in Argentina, where they have actually been a little bit drier while Brazil's been getting the rain. Things will reverse itself. Looks like better chances of rain in Argentina, lesser amounts of rain in Brazil, with temperatures a bit cooler than normal.
And then if you globe hop just a bit for me and check up on some of the other primary growing regions of the world, wheat should be finishing up harvest in Australia. It's going in the ground in China and in the Midwest as well as the Great Plains states.
That's right. Australia going to look pretty dry. Precipitation chances are going to be pretty low, so not a lot of moisture or any real significant weather there. South Africa and the African area is going to have some good chances of moisture over the next week to 10 days. And across the Midwest here, back in the United States, we're going to have some stormy weather with showers, thunderstorms, rain, snow across many areas of the Corn Belt Midwest here through the next 60 hours. But a break in the weather after that, that will go from this weekend into the first half of next week.
Sounds like November, and potentially could we have a pretty decent Thanksgiving as we get to next week? I know it's a long ways out.
It is a long ways out. Right now, I have to say yes. There is going to be a storm system that's going to be traversing the country, but on Thanksgiving Day, it looks like it may be up in the northeast part of the United States, leaving us maybe a little on the cool side, but fair. That's how things look now for Thanksgiving week.
And then put on your real long-term hat. Tell me about the growing regions across the Midwest. When you look out through the wintertime, who needs the most precipitation?
Well, we need some in the red winter wheat areas and the plain winter wheat areas. They could use some moisture. Oklahoma, Kansas, portions of Texas, and up into the Dakotas. Those areas a bit dry, they could use some moisture, but the pattern, at least early in the winter season, especially with a weak El Nino, does not necessarily bring good chances of moisture there. So that's an area of dryness that we're going to have to keep an eye on, at least early in the winter season, while the rest of the nation will probably have good chances of moisture.
Don, we appreciate you being with us, and
thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you not next week, but the following week.
Gobble, gobble.
All right. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Just a couple of reminders as we head in tomorrow. Dave Dickey and I will be on the road for a good portion of tomorrow on our way to Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Our thanks to the WILL staff, in particular to Jay Pierce and to Tom Rogers, who will be ably filling in for the ag programming. We hope to have everything up on the website just as usual. If not, just be patient. We'll get to it. It's at WILLAG.org if you're looking for the ag programming. And we're going to try to do Commodity Week from Kansas City with the panelists, of course, back here in the studio. We've done that before. Should be a possibility. And I will talk to you then again in relative person, I suppose, on Saturday for Commodity Week this week. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.